Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing today? Hopefully, you guys are ready and pumped for another episode of T-Bone Speaks. I have fabulous news today. Our Missing in Action co-host is still here, still ticking, and the last I checked, he still has my account. Chuck, how are we doing?
I'm doing awesome today. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. But before we keep going, I need to put a plug in. I need to put a plug in for www.askchuckmckee.com.
What is that all about? And why are you making fun of me right now?
Well, because since you have no social media presence whatsoever on Facebook, the only way somebody can find you is to go to your website, www.askchuckmckee.com.
Simplified.
But, or really what it should be, to be quite honest with you, is it should be www.whereintheworldischuckmckeeandwhyhe'snotonthetbonespeaks.com.
Let's talk about this real quick. Let's clarify that. Last week we did a podcast.
Yeah, but
it's taken 3 weeks for your virtual assistant.
No, I'm ahead of schedule. So like this stuff, I can't live my life the way we used to have it, where I was doing a podcast the night before it's due and then missing weeks.
Let's ask your listeners. What they would
we
rather
don't
have.
Even have listeners.
Let's ask them, would they rather have quantity or they have quality?
Well, I can tell you this. The truth is this. My episodes alone without you, the quality is much better.
That's not true.
That is absolutely true.
It says who?
Says me.
Okay. So let's focus on this tonight. We've got an awesome, awesome topic that I'm a little nervous talking about, but I am excited about. So what are we going to talk about tonight?
Your gray hair is pretty gray, dude.
It's because it's a little long right now.
I'm just saying, that crap is gray.
It's white. It was gray before.
You're a 40-year-old man with like silver, gray hair.
Have you seen my wife?
I have not in a long
time. She loves the silver fox.
sounds like a strip club, dude. For old people.
I would go broke if I were working in a strip club. Let's be honest. Okay, we've got to move on.
Okay, so let me talk about it, all right? So today we have a great episode. Our episode is going to be 5 things you should know about having an associate. And I think selfishly, I want to do this episode so I can vent and we can have a therapy session for me and we can dissect me. And I really want you to ask questions because I'm going to be absolutely open. I'll try not to use names, but I'm going to be absolutely open. And let's have a good discussion on associates. And as much as I bitch and moan, excuse my language, but I'm going to consider bitch a normal word these days. Okay. As much as I bitch and moan about associates, I am a firm believer that every practice should strive to have one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree.
So we have five things that we want to talk about. But before we get started, Chuck, is there anything you want to get off your chest today?
You know, I think everything...
In like a minute.
No, everything's been great. I don't really have any complaints that aren't my fault. How about that?
Well, I have something I got to get off my chest.
What's on your mind?
Today, I was having a conversation with my practice manager, Cynthia. And she was talking to me about, I was looking at my day sheet, and I'm like, why did I have a negative production for yesterday? Because I review my day sheet every day with Cynthia. And I said, why did I have a negative production yesterday? And she goes, let's look at that. And number one, I'm like, why the hell do you not know? But we looked at it, and we had quite a few adjustments and deletions on our books. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, so why did we delete this? And, you know, one thing, you know, hey, we posted the wrong doctor. And in Eaglesoft, once you run end of day or do whatever, you got to delete it versus changing the thing or whatever it may be. And then finally, we talked about this one lady who started Invisalign treatment. We took impressions and records, sent it in. And then she called back like a 2-3 days later, says, I've changed my mind. I don't want to do it. So we gave her almost all her money back. Minus, I think, $200-$300 for, you know, taking impressions and all that stuff. And then I looked at the account, and it was done incorrectly. So I called the person who adjusted the account to my office to just explain to me what they were doing. And as soon as I asked any kind of question, it was the defensive mode. Like, I don't know. I was busy. Things were going on. And as soon as I heard the word busy, I just went crazy internally. But here's the good news in this. I didn't lose my crap to that this morning. I just looked at both of them and I said, I think it's time that you leave the room and leave me alone. And they left.
Sometimes it's what you don't say.
It was an awesome feeling. And then I got mad at myself. I fixed the issue. And then I was on an internal rampage the rest of the day. I got stuff done today, man.
Well, I will tell you, you opened that can of worms. And that was longer than 1 minute. That was our deal.
But you're one. I'm the main host here. This is my home. I'll talk as much as I want to talk.
Listen, I'm not Robin. I'm not your sidekick. Well, maybe I am a little bit.
But you're not even on the show all the time because I don't know where the hell you are.
Listen, I'll give you one episode a week. Now, whether it takes you 3 weeks to give me an hour of your time, now that's one thing.
Oh, but I can't help you. I may be recording 4 or 5 episodes a week.
The non-negotiable is I'm not going to rush and I'm not going to chase you. And we're not going to do it during the week when we're seeing patients and I'm seeing clients.
Okay, I'm surprised you even have clients left the way you talk to them.
Is that fair? All right, here's my quick rant. We got to move on, okay? Because we're already cutting in. My quick rant is this. I am mad at myself for not being firm enough with my clients when I sell them technology and selling our training. So basically, we are scared to death to tell the doctors, if you're going to buy a cone beam or if you're going to buy CERAC, this is our protocol and this is what you need to do to be successful. Sometimes I feel like we bend the rules a little bit because we think some doctors will learn quicker than others.
A little bit.
So I got chewed out this week from a doctor because they were having CERAC issues. And when I dove into it, the CERAC issues were 95% the doctor. And they have not been to advanced training since they bought their CERAC a year ago. And shame on me for not pushing that because they're a very, very, very good client. And I didn't push them hard enough.
Because you're afraid that they'll leave.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, we're in the yes business at Patterson. We say yes to everything. And I love that. I love having that type of autonomy with my clients. But at the same time, it doesn't help our clients when we bend the system. So we need to stick to our goal. So that's my rant. And again, I'm mad at myself for that one.
Well, it's rampant. In our industry. We do that with team members too, by the way. We're afraid they'll leave or blah, blah, blah. All right. So on to the main topic. Thank you for sticking around to the listeners, at least. I'm in a funny mood today. It's good. All right. So let's talk about five things that we need to know about associates. And number one is the mindset of the practice owner bringing in the associate. Why and when to evaluate, are you the owner, are you the senior doc ready for an associate? And are you and your practice prepared to have the come and go associate?
That's a great, great point. I go through this daily, not once a week, but daily with the when and why. And also the control freak. You know, one of the toughest things I'm seeing with associates right now is the team buy-in and is the new doctor going to be good enough in the team's eyes for the patients to see? For instance, I've had an associate just leave an office. It was awesome, making a ton of money. Seeing just a handful of patients, But the doctor, the associate doctor told me, he says, Chuck, look, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, you know, I don't know any associate that can ever follow in that doctor's footsteps. And he says, it's a great doctor, great practice, but there's no way anyone can compete with that guy. The other thing you talk about, when and where, do we jump straight in and hire somebody full time? Or do you like to take, you know, just kind of stick your toe in and do maybe 1 or 2 days a week? What I typically tell a doctor, if you're booked out 4 to 5 weeks consistently on your schedule, consistently 4 to 5 weeks, then it is time to start getting an associate here at least a couple of days a week. If your hygiene is booked out 4 to 5 months, and in our state, we can only have 2 hygienists per doctor, and you can't get another new patient in because you're so booked out, the patients will start looking elsewhere. It is time to go ahead and book another column of hygiene, but we have to have an associate to support that. Those are some
legally.
Things. Legally. Legally. Yeah. Right. So those are some things. I mean, we have practices that will, you know, rent a doc who's just here.
I've done rent a doc.
You know, just rent a doc just to check hygiene, but they're not really checking hygiene, but they're there.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you talk about the hygiene issue. I would say a lot of practices are booked out 4, 5, 6 months because they book in advance, but then they have lots of cancellations and last minute changes. So I would say if your hygiene is booked out and meeting goal,
right,
then certainly that would be there. Now, I don't necessarily agree that you have to be booked out 4 or 5 weeks to need an associate. I really have a different mindset on determining whether or not your practice needs an associate. I really think, and I think this is utterly important, and again, selfishly, I think it's utterly important. I think, to me, you need an associate when you want to make a transition in your practice, or a transition, what I call a transition to the right. And by that means, I wrote a blog post, and I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, where I break dentistry down into 3 phases, general dentistry, advanced dentistry, and emotional dentistry. And if you want to have 2 people playing in the sandbox of general dentistry, then there are a lot of challenges there in having an associate. But if you want to advance your practice by doing advanced or emotional dentistry, and whether you transition to that, or whether you haven't bring in an experienced associate slash a specialist even to do that, then to me, you don't have to be booked out as far. You just have to really know, can you turn the funnel on and market for the patients, or are you turning away patients to referrals for things that you don't do?
I hear it all the time. I really want to grow my implant business. I really want to grow my sleep business, but I just don't have time.
Right.
I'm so bogged down with Crown and Bridge, which, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're turning away $2,500 to $4,000 treatments because you're
busy doing an MOD,
you're busy doing quads of fillings, then we need to talk about that. Yeah. I hear that more often than you can imagine.
Yeah, and you know, listen, you know, I think the dentist has to be honest with themselves. Do they have the practice to support that, and can they do it? But to me, that is, in my opinion, and maybe I'm unique in this way, but I don't believe I am. To me, that's one of the main reasons for getting an associate, is to free up your time to allow you to do those things that you don't have the time for, whether that's personally, whether that's professionally, or whether that's something else in life, for God's sakes.
Well, and you know, and when you're looking at those things too, don't let your facility hold you up either. So many times I hear people, they're concerned about being facility bound. There are a lot of practices that are great that just because you bring on an associate, you don't need to add 2 new ops.
No, you know, in fact, I would say most practices, certainly in our area and probably across the country, only use their facility probably 25% of the time.
Exactly.
Because you're open 8 to 5, 4 days a week. There's 7 days a week in the week, and there's 24 hours a day in the day.
Well, let's take the creative scheduling aside. Let's put that aside for a second. Let's just look at your columns in your current office and your current schedule. I think if you're a doctor who is trying to do more procedures like implants and apnea,
you don't need as many operatories.
You're working out of 1 because your hourly is probably about $2,500 an hour at that point.
I don't know if that. Come on, Chuck.
That's okay, let's
probably
be
more. I think once you get 1,000+, you're okay. In that ballpark.
1 column is fine for you. Your associate needs at least 1 room, and then we need an overflow.
Yep.
So if you'd be surprised, the dentistry.
We make it work with 5 operatories total in our office,
and it works. And that's in a PPO practice.
Yeah. 5, 6 operatories. Sorry.
Yes.
We have 6 operatories in our practice. I work out of 1.
So don't go in there with
my associate works out of 1.
Right.
And then we have 1 overflow that we share. We have 2 hygiene rooms. And then we have 1 new patient consult slash limited exam room.
And just to clarify, you're here 3 days a week.
I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 to 5.
Okay. And the practice is open
5 days a week.
There you go. Okay. So when and where? So again, there's a couple of things. If you're trying to grow clinically, that's the first step. The second step is maybe time. Like I was talking with a doctor earlier in the week, and his whole thing is, I'm not trying to make more money. I'm trying to make more time. But why I'm here, I need to make the same income.
Yep.
So that was something that we're working on with him right now. So he's bringing in an associate. So he wants to work your schedule, to be quite honest with you, Monday through Wednesday. And he wants to go down to the coast for a few days every week. So he's like, okay, I'm going to expand my hours by an hour a day.
Personally.
So he's that way. That makes him.
So he might go 8 to 6 instead of 8 to 5.
That's correct. The 7 o'clock appointment is probably the most popular time.
Yeah, but why? Okay. Anyway, I don't want to get philosophical. Why even expand? I think he should contract his hours personally.
Well, so something like that. It's just it's sticking your toe in. Okay. Yeah. And it makes him feel a little better. And we know that'll peel back. We've seen that time and time again.
Okay. What about the control freak? What about someone like me?
That's a tough one. It's very hard to go through to work here, to be quite honest with you. I put this into the category of it's tough, you know, to walk behind you. And it's not necessarily your dentistry as much as your intolerance to...
My dentistry is pretty good too.
Your unwillingness to change your system. And that is part of the secret sauce here too. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about, you've had associates in the past who want to do implants that don't want to do them guided because they don't need to.
They need to. Trust me, they need to.
But in their mind, right? And you've had
I can't help it, they're stupid.
You've had some gifted doctors come through here.
They think they're gifted.
And to your point, you're like, look, you could probably do this without a guide, but if it goes wrong, and many times you've said, look, I've done too many of these without guides and they screwed up.
Yeah, but they look at me and say, you have 2 left hands.
And you have to also pay for it. Who pays for that screw up? Who has to pay for it?
Well, most of them aren't even around long enough to see the screw up.
So it is tough here. And, you know, something I will tell you, and I tell a lot of type A doctors, and a lot of people listening to this are type A more than they realize. If you're a technology doctor, you're probably wound tighter than a tick on a sheepdog. So I will tell you, often the perfect associate you're looking for doesn't want to work for you. The perfect associate that you're looking for is going to run their own business.
Yep.
And if they come to work for you, those kind of people, year and a half max, yep. And it's just not going to work.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what the problem is, listen, at the end of the day, if you think somebody's going to come work for you and run it like they own it and take unbelievable ownership of it and take it to heart, and you think they're going to be there forever, you've got another thing coming to you. So I would say 12 to 18 months for a really, and that's one of my challenges, Chuck, for me personally is I want only good people or great people, right? But I know that wanting good or great people typically means they have a 12 to 18 month lifespan.
And honestly, how do you feel when you have an associate challenge you?
I don't mind. It depends what they challenge me on. Like Kay challenged me on, why don't we do direct pulp caps?
Now, who's Kay?
Dr. Ketchup. Okay. That's working with me now.
And he's been out of school, what, a year now?
Year and a half, yeah.
Okay.
One day, he's like, why don't we do more direct pulp caps? I'm like, because if you need a direct pulp cap, do the root canal.
Okay. I mean, philosophically, do you think that's common practice or best practices? Or is that a little aggressive on your part?
No, I think that's logical, okay? Because number one, I don't want to see the patient again. The patient doesn't want to have to come back for a tooth. You know, I don't like having to backtalk why this tooth ended up needing a root canal a week after or 2 weeks or a month after we did it. But if you have an exposure, I believe that you should just go ahead and do the root canal.
Well, you know, another thing, I'll tell you a great story we were talking about with...
And then he tried to sell it to me as a billable procedure. I'm like, dude, I don't care about direct pulp caps.
Well, something came up with a past associate here with pulling bony impacted thirds.
Yep.
And the doctor is just a gifted general dentist who worked here. And we talked about that a lot. And
I like how you try to sugarcoat it.
Well, he was. Let's just call it what it is, or she was. I can't remember which one. But anyway, so in saying that, you said just because you can doesn't mean we should here.
Yep. And I call it the business model.
And so the associate was looking at, that was probably a $2,000 procedure here.
With insurance, probably about $1,400-$1,500.
Okay. And you said, the reason I'm not going to let you do this is because you're not sedation certified and you didn't want the patient to have a bad experience.
Right. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, the thing was to me, well, in school or in residency or in my rotations or my last office, we did it without sedation and everything turned out fine. I said, yes, but those patients don't come back to you and those patients don't refer people to you. And those patients tell me the last time I went to your office, the dentist put their knees up on my chest to take my tooth out. And that doesn't help me grow my business or my reputation.
Well, one thing you and I probably spend the most time talking about with each other, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And when we're stressed out and when we're exhausted, and sometimes when your personality flaws, I'll just say it on the air here, is you do not have a lot of patience. And sometimes...
And I have less now than I've ever had.
So it can come across as abrupt. Anyone who knows you knows that you're all heart. However, you got to be careful how you talk.
So I come across as a dick or an ass sometimes?
Yeah, it's pretty coarse. And you and I have had many conversations where I just walked away. I say, I know he didn't mean that, but it's better if I just leave.
Maybe I did mean it.
I just need to leave today. So on the control freak thing, my personal observation has been, it's okay to be a control freak. It's how you say it. But at the same time, the associate needs to remember whose name is on the front of the building.
And they have a greater and greater problem remembering that, okay? And they sometimes, you know, one of my frustrations, they talk the talk, but then they don't walk the walk, right?
Right.
And I'm not talking clinically. I'm saying they say things like, it's your practice, I'm here to service you, or service your patient base, but then their actions aren't congruent with that message. So number one was the mindset of the owner ready to bring in an associate. We want you to have a clear, defined why you're looking for an associate, okay? And when you're ready for an associate, how far do you have to be booked out? And that'll be very dependent on the why. We want you to have a clear understanding of your personality. Are you a control freak? And are you really going to work well in the sandbox with an associate dentist? And then I'm telling you from personal experience, and this is not unique to me, be prepared for it to have people come and go. I remember... my team members like, oh God, it looks so bad for us to have people that come and go. And I go, listen, think about it this way. That's all about how you phrase it to the patients. And to me, you phrase it to the patients like this. Listen, Dr. A loves mentoring and helping young dentists. And he wants them to come here and he wants them to fly on their own after a year and a half or so. And we come, you know, we only bring the best in. And one of the things with bringing the best in here is that they also want to go own their practice and he wants to give back to the community. And so that's how you sell it to your patients, so the patients don't start getting freaked out when you have a new dentist here every couple of years in that manner. So number one, mindset. Number two, expectations between owner doc and associate dentist. So by this, I mean, are you prepared to mentor? What is the expectation of mentoring? How do you work in the patient base? Where is the associate getting patients from? Also, what about the treatment mix? Who's going to be doing what procedures? Is there a clear defined role because of who's going to get what or what they can get or how do they start with that? And then to me, probably the more difficult one is how are you going to transition existing patients and how are you going to divvy up new patients?
Let's jump right into that treatment mix. This is something that will destroy an associateship faster than anything. So you've got Dr. B, let's just call it Dr. B for our associate, coming in and they're working, they're doing hygiene, they're checking. The person you can't get to, maybe you don't want to, maybe you're just busy, and we call that heavy doc, high doc and low doc. Are you familiar with that?
Kind of, not really.
Let's talk about that real quick.
But I don't know why you said heavy and looking at me. Is that a Freudian slip?
So high doc is pretty neat. I like the scheduling. High doc and low doc. High doc is, let's just say, in our market where you have two dentists and four hygienists, and high doc is the doc who's doing all the production. Basically, maybe you're sitting down doing a couple implants. Maybe you're doing some veneers. You just can't get up that much. So low doc is going to check hygiene all day and do your buccal pits and your class ones. That's all they're there. Maybe put a little key tack in for an emergency. But
key tack. Jesus.
Hey, that's the dental
Chuck,
duct. Hey,
please
listen.
Get the Patterson Dental out of you for our podcast. For key tack.
That's the dental duct
Who
tape.
Who makes that? SB?
Dental duct tape, brother. It is here to stay.
Key tack. You got to have a titurator for that.
So make sure if the associate diagnoses in hygiene, I'm telling you, this is the one I hear all the time. These are the late night texts I get in the phone calls. Hey, Chuck, call me. We got to talk. I'm treatment planning all this stuff, but it's ending up on Dr. A's schedule. It's ending up on Dr. Smith's schedule. What's going on? And you know what that is? That's the team buy-in, right?
It's more than the team buy-in. There's a lot of team buy-in there, but that's also about the patient buy-in. In other words, you know, listen, let's take my practice, for example, okay? I've been here 15 years now. Can you believe it's been 15 years?
It feels like forever.
I have no hair and you have all gray hair, but... it's been, if I've been seeing my patients for 12 to 15 years or 10 to 15 years or even hell 5 years, they're going to want to schedule with me. And our challenge is, honestly, I don't want them to schedule with me. You know, our challenge is getting the team to transition the patient to the Dr. B versus the letting the patient choose Dr. A. And so here's my tip on that, okay? In the beginning, I used to just put it all on the team, and the truth is that's not the best way to do it. You know, to me, the best way to do it is for me to transition the patient to the Dr. B, okay? Doctor number two. And the best way to do that is when you're with the patient, I say, hey, Chuck, you know, we want to do a couple of crowns here, whatever it may be. And Chuck, you know, listen, this is really important to me. We really need to get this done sooner than later. And unfortunately, my schedule's booked out about a month and a half or so. Even if it's not, I want you to say, hey, my schedule's booked out a month and a half. The great news is Dr. X is in our practice, and he's got a little bit more availability. And quite honestly, Chuck, he's pretty good at this stuff. I let him do dentistry on me. And then I want you to be a maitre d' and introduce the patient to Dr. X with you there. And I would say, Chuck, I want you to meet Dr. X. Dr. X is going to take great care of you. You're going to love him. And then my personality is a joke. I may say, Chuck, I don't want you to fall in love with him more than me.
Well, I like that, but here's a couple of things. So be careful with that. What I hear in that is, hey, I'm really, really busy. I'm too busy for this. Okay. Now we can say that behind the scenes, but you can't say that in front of a patient.
No, but I didn't say that. Let me clarify that.
Yeah.
I'll say, Chuck, you know, if you really want to see me, I'm not saying no. I just want you to know it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before I get to you.
I would say this. I don't think this procedure should wait 6 to 8 more weeks.
Right.
So Dr. K, he is my technology ninja in here. He is awesome. I teach this technology, and he is equally, if not better than me, at it right now. So right now I'm so driven in surgery and backlogged in surgery. I don't know that I can get to this, which is the truth as well.
Yeah, ultimately, it's the same thing. But I think the key point there is you as the owner doc needs to have that conversation with the patient. And I think you should maitre d' the doctor and say, I want either yourself to introduce you to Dr. X, or I'm going to have Megan bring Dr. X in so you can meet him.
Right.
Okay. And I think too often, you know, if I put myself in the patient's shoes, I don't want to go see somebody for the first time. I've never met them, and they're sticking their hands and a needle in my mouth and working on me. I'd at least like to have some pleasantries before we get down to business, you know?
Right. Well, another great way to do this too, and I was talking to a doctor recently who the patients just were not booking with the associate. I mean, it was painful. The associate's a great, great guy. And so the team called me and said, what do we do? They're just not booking. I said, well, first of all, do you believe him? They're like, yeah, of course he's great, or he wouldn't be here. So I talked to the senior doctor and I talked to the team. I said, here's what we need to do. Senior doctor says burnout, doesn't want to put the energy into selling the associate to the patients. I said, look, doc, we've got 3 months here that you're going to have to take it on the chin. And, you know, he just doesn't want to talk to all the patients all the time. He just wants to do dentistry. He's just basically burnt out. So I said, look, if you want this right, I need 3 months. So when you have your morning huddle, you know that, just say Dr. K is going to see these 8 hygiene patients today. And the girls are always saying, well, the patient really likes you, and I don't know. You know, there's always an excuse. So what I told the senior doc you have to do is say, look, we're going to go ahead and highlight that on your schedule. You're going to get up sometime during that appointment, and you're going to go in there and say, hey, how are you doing? Thank you so much for coming in. You're going to love Dr. K. He's a great guy. If you need me, stick your head in the operatory. I'll see you before I go. But I told him, I said, every one of these patients, 3 or 4 a day, that love seeing you, you're going to have to take 3 minutes and say hello.
It's interesting you say that, because I've had plenty of patients say, do you even work here anymore?
Right.
And I say, well, what days do you normally come in? They go, Thursdays. Well, I'm not here on Thursdays. And they happen to be on a Tuesday or something.
Yes.
And it might have been 2 or 3 years since I've seen them.
Yeah. You cannot forget the people who got you where you are.
No, and I'm not trying to forget them, but I want them to know, hey, I'm here. So on occasion, I'll send out an email blast or something with a joke saying, hey, don't forget, I'm still here. You know, I want you to know what's going on and blah, blah, blah. So when I see patients, even if I'm not checking them, because we try to alternate who sees the patient every other time between me and the associate. So I will always, even when I don't see them for a couple of times in a row, I'll always peek my head in there, say, hey, Mrs. Jones, how you doing? Great seeing you. And then I'll say, hey, you know, have you met Dr. K? Is he taking care of you? And we go from there.
That should be very calculated. So when you have your huddle every day, you guys go through hygiene probably better than anyone. And those patients, you need to make sure. I know sometimes when you're taking a break, you're, oh my gosh, I don't want to get up, but you have to. But if you do it for 3 or 4 months,
It becomes habit.
It'll change things forever. I will tell you this. I'm going to pick on your team a little bit, and I have long, long relationships with most of them, and I hope that they don't get mad at me. But your team is not the best at selling your associates?
Because they love me so much.
Well, they're so damn picky. And it's amazing. No one is ever good enough in their eyes. And that's one thing with your team that I try to talk to here and there with them. I'm certainly not their boss, but I do mention, like, hey, you're going to have to give this guy a chance or he's never going to get better.
Or they're not going to stay.
And why would they?
Yeah.
You know, on that note on staying, this is something that was really, really hard for me. Often I thought because someone was a doctor, they would never act like an employee. And that is something that has been extraordinarily eye-opening for me, how associates often act like just, hey, it's a job.
It's 8 to 5, clock in, clock out.
You know, I'm good making my little bit of, you know, 500 or 600 a day and I'm out of here. Nothing more, nothing less. But at the same time, the first ones to complain about not growing. So it's interesting to me.
But that's part of expectations, right? You need to find an associate partner who wants to be a non-equity partner in the practice at the end of the day, right? If that's what you're looking for. So
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, when you're doing that, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever going to be truthful in that interview. I mean, that's applying for any job.
No, but it's the actions.
Right.
It's their actions. Like, you know, to me, I look at what are the actions of a non-equity partner versus a JOBer, right? What time do you show up?
Right.
Okay, a non-equity partner shows up early. They review their schedule more than 5 minutes. What time are they leaving? What education are they taking? How are they interacting with the team? Are they just one of the people, or do they kind of do their own thing? You know, are they taking ownership? Can they name the team members' families? Can they name who's your husband, who's your boyfriend, who are your kids? How old are they? So those are the things I look at because I can tell you all my team members, everybody, right? So to me, if I went to ask an associate, can you tell me who Liz's boyfriend is, soon to be husband? You know, what's their name? What does she like to do? You know, those kind of things. Then to me, those are the little things, the actions that tell me somebody's a non-equity partner versus being a JOBer.
Well, one thing I mentioned, and is it okay? Do you feel comfortable if I talk about a few numbers?
Yeah, I don't care.
So, you know, I talk with a lot of these young doctors, and I've had you coach a lot of associates. And, you know, if you're an associate or you're an owner doctor now, something I tell people, if you look at the dentists who are in the top 2%, you know, the dentists are making what they make. We know what that is. 600, 700, 800.
Okay.
You cannot and will not ever make that kind of money working 8 to 5. Okay. It's not possible. The people who make that kind of money in dentistry, they're the ones who get here at 6:30. They're the ones who are in here that are looking at their cases through in sequence. They're the ones who always have 3 or 4 cases that they're looking at on their Galaxa software and doing implant planning. They're the ones who are reading about dentistry on the weekend. They're the ones who have a journal.
But I want to have a life, Chuck.
Yeah, but listen, you know what? And you can have a great life. But I tell these associates, if you really want to climb and be at that level, you don't get there by an 8 to 5. It's very, very, very...
Now, honestly, you probably don't get there as an associate.
Well, you can, right? But, you know, to get to that level, you have to come in early.
You have to dedicate weekends to education. You got to work your cases. You can't be working. You got to be working on, you know, I tell associates, the mindset I have for associate is you in a way have your own mini practice.
Right.
Right. Now, whether I'm not trying to divvy up patients and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you control your own destiny, you know, and you have to be committed to growing your part of the practice.
Well, it's like running a business without the responsibilities of the business.
But it's still a business.
Well, I could tell you this. We were talking to one of your associates recently.
Okay.
And he was complaining about not getting enough of your time.
I said, schedule it.
And so he looked at you, and you share an office. You're 4 feet from him. 4 feet. And I told him, I said, if you want this guy's time, show up at 6 o'clock. If you want some Tarun time, 6 o'clock. You're not going to get it at lunch because he's on the phone. He's returning emails, doing anything. You're not going to get it at 5 o'clock because he's got to go home. He's got commitments. You're not going to get it on Thursday because he's gone. You're not going to get it on Fridays because he's not here. However, I said, if you want it, you either A, have to take off time and fly with him. B, you have to meet him at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. And that's when we usually have most of our discussions. Would you agree?
Yeah, we used to meet at 5:30 in the morning until that got kiboshed by the old ladies.
So my point of that is, to get to that next level as an associate, you're going to have to take it on the chin for 2 or 3 years. You can make, you know, $125,000 just showing up. But to go next level...
Yeah, but that won't last. I won't pay anybody that much just to show up.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I want to go back to your point real quick on getting my time or any owner doc's time. I think that's part of the whole mentoring thing, right? Which is part of number two, expectations, is you have to schedule time to mentor. You cannot say, we'll find the time. You have to schedule the time. You have to have pre-blocked times that you go over things. And that may mean 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning. That may mean lunch. That may mean that you both give up production time to sit down and get clinically calibrated, verbally calibrated, and get on the same page. And I will say that one of my biggest fall with all my associates over the last 5 years has been that we have never scheduled the time. We've never made and scheduled the time in advance. And the other thing I say to associates that are struggling to get their time or get mentoring, find a way to work within the parameters of your owner doc. So I was telling Kay that same day with you there, I was telling him, he says, well, I don't have time with you. I said, dude, I mentor people thousands of miles away more than I mentor you because they follow the protocol. And the protocol is you email me the case. I look at it at home or in the morning and I send you a video back. Right. And I said, you see me doing those videos for people. And I said, when's the last time you sent me a case that way? He goes, but I'm 4 feet from you. I go, yeah. And you just hope to catch my time in between patients. And I said, these people follow the protocol so I can mentor them.
My favorite thing that we've always struggled with here, and I say this because I promise you, your associate struggles are probably worse than anyone's. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Is CEREC training. What do I always tell you we need to do?
Send them to trading.
Send them to work. I always say, send them to Scottsdale. You don't have time. And when can somebody get 2 days undivided attention and get that level of education with you?
Well, I know, but see, here's the other challenge on that. You know, we do CEREC training as well. You know, I tell them, take my class. And they're like, why should I take your class? I'm like, you sound like all the other idiot dentists I deal with. I'm like, take the class. They go, well, if I take the class, I don't make production. I'm like, oh my God, do you want to do more expensive things or do you want to sit here and do fillings all the time? I'm like, if you want the training, take the class. The good news is it's free for you, for God's sakes. So just invest a little bit of your time. And yes, you won't make money that day, but you'll make money down the road if you learn how to do this stuff. You are not going to learn it on the fly.
Well, let's real quick, and this is going to be a long podcast. And you guys, I'm sorry, but this is too important. We're just going to have to talk about it. Let's talk about this, because if you're a practice and you think you need an associate, you're probably past a lot of the problems that these new doctors have. You're at a different point in life. So let's really talk about that. My average client coming out of dental school right now is about $350,000 in debt.
That's about $3,500 a month.
Okay. I'm so glad you said that was my next thing. $3,500 a month. They're going to have an apartment.
For 10 years.
For here, a decent apartment here is $1,200 a month.
$1,000 to $1,200 a month.
Okay. Now let's just
We're up to $4,500.
Let's go on a limb and say you maybe made a few stupid investments along the way. And we're going to just call that $40,000 in credit card debt.
I won't give you that.
But well, it's what it is. Okay, whether you agree with it or not, that's the math. We're going to call that a grand.
All right, so now we're at $5,500 a month.
And then I'm going to give you another $1,000 a month just to live.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Wait, that's for That's for rent. Sorry, we already paid for rent. That's for utilities.
Yep.
That's for car payment.
Yep.
Car insurance.
Yep.
Okay, so now we're at $6,500 a month.
Okay.
Now we need $1,000 to actually live.
That's right.
Okay, because I got to eat. I can't live like a hermit and live in my house all the time. So I got to interact with people. Interacting with people means you got to go out a little bit. I'm not saying to bars and stuff, but you got to go out. So now we're at $8,000 a month.
And then there's, hey, you know what? I just spent 8 years of my life. I'm a doctor. I'm going to treat myself to something.
That's BS.
Well, it is what it is.
I don't care what you are. You haven't earned it yet.
Okay. So, but you...
But I'm going to call it $8,000 a month.
Okay. So what is that?
That's $96,000 a year.
Okay.
After taxes.
After. So you need to clear...
$130,000.
$130,000.
To break even.
What does that cost?
That was so eye-opening for me when I did that with Kay, because I pay Kay the first year a salary.
Right.
I pay my associates the first year a salary, a guaranteed salary. And it's significantly more than I made at my first job 16 years ago. And one day I don't want to use the word that he was bitching, but he was saying to me that he needs to make more money. And I said, dude, you make a lot of money. How can you not live off of that? And it was unbelievably eye-opening for me when we sat down and broke it down to how much money he really has or doesn't have, or anybody in that sense, right? So it's amazing that the expenses are so high.
Get over yourself thinking, I didn't make that when I came out. That was 20...
That was 16 years ago.
Years ago for most people.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a different time. Doesn't mean it's better or worse. No, it's different.
I got it. I mean, it took me a long time to get over it.
And that's what these kids expect. I shouldn't say kids. That's what these doctors...
They're kids.
...expect. And you know what? And they can get it anywhere.
Yeah. No, listen... It's a sign of the times.
So we're in the economics part of that. What does that come to?
So
Dave?
Let's go to number two. Was talking about expectations.
Yes.
Okay. So now number three, we need to go over the economics of having an associate. So by this I mean, what are your ROI expectations as the practice owner? Number two, who pays for lab versus no lab? How do you handle CEREC in that? Do you force them to use CEREC? Not force them to use CEREC? And the other part is, what are your expectations in ramping up to profitability? In other words, do you walk into an associateship and say, I'm going to make money as an owner day one?
Well, I tell you, the math that we hear, and this is very loose math, and we can go all over the place. Typically, you need to strive to make a 20% ROI on your associate. Would you agree?
15.
Okay. Well, let's just call that. I mean, you're not getting 15% on anything else in your life right now.
Why would you do it?
Why would you do it or not do it?
No, well, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're not getting at least 15%, what's the point of doing it?
It's just not worth. And I will tell you, you're going to come out of pocket $30,000 getting that associate ramped up.
Yep, getting every time. Every time, not every time I have a turnover an associate, there's a period of ramping up.
Yeah, and basically what that means, let's talk about that real quick. $30,000, they have the diamonds they're going to prep with that they were trained on. You non-negotiable.
Oh my God.
Okay, but it is what it is, right? There's always...
So just because they learned from 1980s dental school instructors how to prep 1980s stuff. I have to allow them. I'm unwilling to accept that. I'm just telling you.
Well, you have, and I've sold it all to you so many times over.
Yeah, and we will talk about that because we will not buy things that I don't use.
So the other thing, well, we're going to come back to that because that was a good learning point. There's the special elevator. There's the special rongeurs. There's the special...
There's no special anything.
Endo system that we use in school that I'm just not going to do Mueller endo.
Go using. Find another job.
Okay. We've evolved to that here, but it wasn't always like that because so often, what is it you've always said to me? Don't make desperate decisions. So many times doctors are desperate. A, you're used to having an associate. Now they're gone. Now you've got two extra hygienists. You're going to say yes to everything and worry about it later. Okay. So
it's a disaster.
It can be a disaster. So now we're talking about two different things here. The first time associate and
yeah, shouldn't I get it? I mean, but look, again, I believe that you as a practice owner need to firmly have a business model and your business way. You have your own culture, right?
Right.
And that's just not the personality of the office, but that's also clinically in the office. You have to have your culture, right? And for me, culturally, I want to use the same products. And I, look, I'm semi-rigid in the products I use.
Yes.
But I'm also open if we both agree on the product. In other words, if you can sell me that, for example, Tetric Flow is better than the Voco Flow, okay, then we'll all switch to Tetric Flow. If you can sell me that XYZ Burr preps better than XYZ Burr, then we'll all switch to that. I want to have consistency so that way when my assistant works with him or your assistant works with me, that there needs to be. And on that note, that's one of the best ways I'm able to find out how things are going in my with the associate. Because honestly, if you think about it, how many of us really interact with our associate and see how well they're doing? You don't, right? You just say, hey, how's your day going? You're doing good dentistry? Yes, I am. Because nobody ever says I'm not, right? And then you ask your assistant, how's the dentistry? And they don't really know or look that closely, right? So one of the things I like to do is I like to work with Dr. K's associate or Dr. XYZ's assistant. And what that tells me is that tells me, like, she'll hand me this and then that. And then, you know, I'll say, okay, I'm ready for this. And they're like, well, I usually do that. I'm like, well, why are you doing that? Well, I'll say, let's go this step. Or I'll say, you know, hand me the bonding agent. And they'll hand me XYZ bonding agent versus what I'm using or stuff like that. And that's a really good way to figure out, is your associate clinically on the same page you are? Or is that assistant on the same page your assistant is on?
I'm so glad you said that because I want to segue into that. For your first time associate, the last thing you want to do is introduce an existing patient to a brand new assistant and a brand new doctor. So we got the blind leading the blind. And this is going to be the hardest thing I'm going to ask you to do because all of you dentists...
I did it and it was hard.
Hate change. Give your lead assistant, your favorite person, to your associate.
With a caveat.
What's your caveat?
My caveat is you sit the assistant in my office, Liz, and the associate down, and you look at the associate and say, listen, you do as Liz says.
Yes.
Liz is going to walk you through this. I know you're the dentist, and I know, quote unquote, she's a lowly assistant, but she'll run circles around you.
Absolutely.
But you got to give that power, because otherwise the assistant is going to often be timid in front of the doctor.
Well, that way we don't have somebody brand new, two new people with each patient. But more importantly, the systems will stay in place. Systems and systems and systems will save money. They create efficiency and they're predictable as well. Again, non-negotiable. Use my endo system first. Let's see how you like it. We'll bring the rep in. I'll train you, whatever.
Or I'll switch with you.
Like you did something else we did here. We standardized all the surgery kits.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. You grab one, they're all the same.
And we have the same with the restorative kits.
Yes.
They're all the same. We don't have it. You know, what drove me crazy is we had one associate come in the very beginning, and he or she wants all this instruments. And the next thing you know, I've got packs and packs of instruments, none of which I use.
Right.
Because I work with like four instruments to do everything.
Right.
I mean, I probably work with less instruments than anybody you know. And so I got tired of it. Or like one day I had crown lengthening burrs. I'm like, why in the world do we have crown lengthening burrs in this place? And then you and I had to have a talk like, why in the world, if they ask you to buy it, then they better pay for it.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to send next time you buy something for the associate, I'm going to send that bill back and say, have him pay for it.
So let's jump into that, Bill.
So let's talk about lab and no lab.
Right. So typically what we see in our market, most associates, their expectation is about 30% of what they produce. Collections, we go back and forth, we're splitting hairs. You should be collecting 100%. Even if you're a PPO provider, you know what your write-off fee is going to be.
So you need to reclaim, re-say what you're saying then. You're not saying 30% of production. You're saying 30% of adjusted production.
Adjusted production.
But
okay.
there's a big
absolutely
technical difference between the two.
If you're charging, if you're getting reimbursed $890 for a crown from MetLife.
That high?
$890 for MetLife. Your associates can be paid on $890. It is your team's responsibility to collect that money 100%.
I disagree with that, but that's okay.
Whether you have an associate or not, your team should be collecting 100%.
I disagree with that.
How can you disagree with that?
And here's why. I don't believe it's all the team's responsibility. There are times where associates say, let's just take this tooth out and don't give the team the opportunity to make firm financial arrangements. So why should I pay if you say, hey, I just want to do it, or I'm going to do this and I'm going to give it away, or we're going to adjust it off. Why should I, as the owner, pay for your mistakes?
Well, I would say, first of all, 100% of consented treatment.
Okay. Yeah, but the treatment is consented between the dentist and the patient, but the team. So to me, in our office and in every office, I don't start treatment on somebody until somebody gives me permission.
Well, so let's just say that should not.
But it is an issue, man. It's not just here. It's an issue everywhere. I promise you it's an issue.
Well, let's.
So you can live in pie in the sky land, but it's an issue.
That should be, clear cut in our contract. Okay. So let's go back to that. 30% of adjusted production. Okay. We're going to assume that you're collecting 98%.
All right.
Okay. So adjusted production.
I'm already giving away 2% of my 15%.
Okay. The other thing we're going to talk about is sometimes you'll see 32, 34, 35%. That's when you see the associate is paying for their lab bill.
So 30% has nothing to do with lab bill, even?
Absolutely not.
Straight money.
34% is when you see that the associates are paying for certain things. At 30%, you as a doctor, you're paying for everything. Now, my favorite model is this, and you guys do a good job of this. Most of the time, we'll see doctors, they're on a budget. We talked about this. We just went through the math on $130,000 a year. If an associate can make $500 to $650 a day guarantee, that's what they're really looking for. A, they come out of school. They're slow as molasses. Okay, so we know that. But they're like, I got to get a guarantee. In any of these offices that are corporate ran, frankly,
I hate that word corporate ran.
But let's just say that.
The DSOs.
DSOs.
Dental support organizations.
So we have those, and you can make that easily. You could be a dentist that's retired and check hygiene.
And make $500 a day.
And make $500 a day.
Yeah.
So now the question is, to make that money, let's say this, we call that a draw here.
Right.
So I know in your practice, you're willing to float that doctor for about 6 months. Is that correct?
I go into it mentally saying, for 6 months, if you're not breaking even in 6 months, you're out of here.
Yeah, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So what we do here is the doctor really needs to produce about, what, $2,300 a day to cover that nut?
Yeah, that's 3X, 3.5X of what you pay them, right?
Okay, so let's just call that, and our numbers may be off, but once that doctor covers that number.
Let's call it $2,500 a day.
We'll call that $2,500 a day. He or she gets 30% of that. Now, what I do love.
Above and beyond that. Yeah.
Now, the doctor can go in the hole.
Yep.
At the end of the month.
It has to be a draw.
It has to be a draw. So please understand that. You can't get while the getting's good, and then when it's slow, you get a clean slate wiped. But you need to let that go for about 6 months. And then if they are in a negative, let's wipe that. But from this day forward, you've got to cover your draw. And if you go in the hole 1 month, then you go in the hole. If you keep going in the hole every month and you really like your associate, then maybe we need to cut back their draw from 650 a day to maybe 500 a day.
Yeah. So, I do believe in this. I believe that straight percentage jobs with no guarantee is unfair to the associate. And in a way, unfair to the practice also. And the reason I look at it is everybody has to have skin in the game, the owner doc and the associate doc. So I think the draw should be a minimum dollar amount, maybe $400 or $500. Personally, that's what I believe. And then you should have your percentage basis. And then you should go from there. That way I have an incentive to make sure he or she gets patients as an associate. I have an incentive to make sure my team buys in, because otherwise I'm paying somebody for no reason. And then, you know, that way he or she has an incentive, like, because nobody, you know, no dentist can really live off that and pay the bills. So they need to make more and want to make more. So we expect roughly 6 months, 3 to 6 months to ramp up to profitability. We expect, we go into it with a ROI expectation of somewhere in the 15 to 20% ballpark net to net on our associate. And then we're going, we work through the how to pay for lab bill versus not having a lab bill. And then just briefly, let's talk about CEREC and associates in the CEREC office.
Oh, this one drives me nuts. It's almost like when I have an assistant who says, hey, you know what? This is a doctor's money. He or she's rich. It doesn't matter. Just buy it. I cannot, and you don't hear me say negative things much. I cannot stand it, and I will do everything in my power to replace an associate when I hear these words. I'm not going to use a CEREC because I'm not paying the lab bill. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me because most of the clients I work with are good friends of mine. And when I hear someone says all they're wanting to do is get their production up and they could care less about the profit, if you're listening and you're an associate that I work with and that's your mindset, I am doing everything in my power to get you replaced. Understand that right now. So the point is, and this is really, really tough in our group offices. So many times we've sold CEREC technology to a practice and the associates aren't using it because they're not having to pay the lab bill, so they're not worried about it. I'll just take an impression. My assistant will make the temporary. I'm moving on to the next person. Same thing and repeat, repeat, repeat. And they're not concerned about paying for the remakes. And here's the thing that gets lost in that. It's the profit for the practice, and most importantly, the patient experience. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is something that should be what we call a non-negotiable. If you have a CEREC, be committed to getting your associate good at that technology.
It's a non-negotiable in our office.
And the last thing I will say on that, your office aside, and every office I work, I really don't like it when the senior dentist, in my personal opinion, and I could be completely wrong, I do not like it when they say, I'll train the associate. The reason being is A, they never get to it. B, all of their bad habits, they've all of a sudden developed. I would rather them go somewhere else for training and maybe they can come back and teach the senior doctor something. It's $3,000.
Well, better yet, go together.
It's $3,000 or $4,000. And if you can't afford that, then you have no business getting an associate. No,
if you can't, yeah, financially, you can't be that cheap.
I think that's the first time I've ever had a rant.
That's okay. You know, I don't understand this. When you talked to me about that, you were given, like a few months ago, you were talking to me about a certain situation where the owner dentist is like, I can't get my associate to use a CEREC. I'm like, what do you mean can't get? You can't get a new associate then, right? So in our office, a non-negotiable. And I remember we had a dentist who was uncomfortable using it. And then he said to me, why do all I do is fillings? I said, because the team is unwilling to sacrifice the patient to take an impression and have to make a temporary. Quite honestly, I just don't think the team wanted to make provisionals.
He was such a good guy, too.
He was.
Oh, man.
That argument was, I only want to do PFMs. I was like, dude, I haven't done a PFM in like 14 years.
Oh.
So the economics of it, ramping up to profitability, the ROI, lab versus no lab, and using the CEREC machine. So now let's talk about the process of getting an associate and having an associate. So where do you find an associate? What kind of contract or agreement do you have? How do you structure compensation, which we covered a little bit, and then we covered a little bit on the mentoring there. So talk to me about where do we find associates?
I would say this, with most of our branches, we have a very, very strong relationship with the dental schools. And it's not necessarily to sell the dental school things. It's more about getting to know the students. And what you find is you have a tendency to migrate towards people that have similar personalities to you and as our clients. So basically what we're always doing, we're always looking, you know, and working with the dental students and also associates who are unhappy leaving different places. And then we're like, you know, that personality would fit great with Dr. X or Dr. B. So the biggest thing I would say, lean on your rep, whether you work with Patterson or whoever it is you work with, because
I can't even say the other company's names.
I've been here so long, I can't even say it out loud. I just can't say it. So, you know, lean on your reps very, very hard. We have the relationships. Our emails are always full of people looking for jobs. And understand, we're not going to put just anyone in your practice because the last thing we want to do is
you can't say that, Chuck. You won't put just anyone in. Good reps won't put just anyone in.
Well, we can't because at the end of the day, if you put in a doctor that sabotages an office inadvertently, then that's a reflection on who?
Whoever referred that.
That's right. So, yeah. So lean on your reps. There are some great placement services, but you have to pay. You shouldn't have to go through that. If you go to PattersonHill.com, we have an awesome a map on there that you can put in your information where we can help, you know, find you an associate. You can put in your information as well. And a lot of that information, you can hide it. So maybe you have an associate that you're replacing. They don't know. So you can be as discreet as you want to, but start with your rep first and foremost.
I would say I've gotten all but one of my associates through you.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, all but one. So I rely heavily on my rep, who's Chuck, who occasionally shows up on this podcast and doesn't have a Facebook account. But the reason is because my rep knows me. He knows my team. He knows what kind of procedures I'm looking for. He understands my numbers. He understands what my goals are. So he's going to try to find the right, he or she is going to try to find the right personality. Where else besides reps? You can, I once put an ad out in the dental school job posting board.
Yeah, absolutely. It's free. Yeah. As well. That's a good one. You know, it's funny. We do a lot.
The placement services.
Placement services are good. I'm trying to.
Facebook.
If you look at your.
You wouldn't know anything about Facebook.
Your practice brokers.
Yeah.
Often they have a transition part that, you know, because what their ultimate goal is to pair you up. It's matchmaker, right? Go with.
It's just lunch.
It's just lunch.
It's just teeth.
So the practice brokers are really, really good. And what's great about practice brokers, they're thinking long term. And. So if you know, if you,
I like how you're so positive on people.
It's, you know what? It's because I'm innately lazy and it takes less energy to be positive than to be negative. So I think it's just because I'm a little bit lazy. It's more efficient to be happy. So how about that?
It takes less muscles to frown. I think that's not true.
So
but
we talked about
okay.
Finding, that should be easy, to be honest with you. You shouldn't have an issue finding. Now here's,
yeah, but finding the right associate.
Let me take that back. If you're in a rural market.
Oh, it's tough.
It's brutal.
God, it's tough.
And you know what? And what's really crazy.
That's where they make the most money.
That's where there's the biggest need. The overhead's the
lowest.
And
they get to do the procedures they want to do.
But it's tough. That is where I've struggled. Usually about 50 minutes, maybe an hour from any metro city is about where it's probably the easiest.
I cannot imagine driving 45 minutes to an hour every day.
You drive 25.
I drive 20.
And that's in traffic. It'd take you 40 minutes to get home. It's a mindset. You have to say, hey, if I'm going to make a grand a day, you can drive for an extra 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have drove 2 hours before, you know. But yeah, okay. So what about a contract or an agreement? This is an area I've made mistakes on. I do most of my stuff on a handshake, and it's always come back to bite me because there's some disagreement or some unwritten, unsaid issues. So I would say that, and this is coming from someone who absolutely hates contracts, I would say it's important to have agreements in place. I don't like contracts. I like agreements.
Well, those are good because it protects everyone. It gives you an out, gives them an out. But more importantly, on the positive side of that, there's expectations. It forces you to write those things down. And, you know, anytime we write something down and we have our goals, we're just looking at all the whiteboards downstairs. When we write those things down, the math is simple. I mean, you're already 20% closer to your goal just by writing it down. And that's the math tells us that. So that way it's clear cut, you know, and we're in this generation now where everyone texts and email and how many times when we have a talk, I'm like, look, let's just talk about it tomorrow, but I got to look you in the eye. And when you're getting a text from your associate or an email, most of the time you're just pissed off because you can't believe he or she said that. But truthfully, when it's you don't know what they're thinking because you don't have a contract or a plan. Okay. How would you ever start a business? How would you ever get someone to loan you $1 million to start your practice without, you know, some type of business plan? It's the same way. It's the same way with an associate. So
what kind of things should you have in a contract? You should have compensation agreement.
Compensation, non-compete.
Non-compete.
Very, very important. Okay, which is easy to get around, but still costs a lot of money to get around. Right. The biggest thing is time, ramp-up time. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a loan, you get 6 months of no interest, no payments. It's kind of like that. So at least you know. At least you know. You can maybe even a guarantee of what your draw going to be.
But that's all compensation. What about CE expectations?
That's huge. That's huge.
That's just been my number one. Like, I can't push it enough. I think, like, the State Dental Society has, the State Dental Board has your requirement.
Right.
I think a practice should have a requirement of how much CE and what type of CE the associate should take to have a job here.
Well, straight out of dental school, again, the math tells us you have 6 months of education before you're maxed out. They say when you graduate dental school, that will carry you about 6 months into private practice where you're pretty much going to see everything you've learned and you've done everything once or twice, about 6 months. And you're maxed.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing with that is rather than doing a million different CEs, maybe in the beginning, you should know this when you're interviewing your associate or your associate partner, as you say. Figure out what it is he or she loves. If it's surgery, let's just focus on surgery
this year.
Yeah, but
they think they love that, but they don't. Okay, anyway,
I don't. We don't take that away from them, right?
Yeah, sure.
So don't focus on surgery, second molar endo, Invisalign, and then maybe a Spears course. I mean, my God, that's been a you know, jack of all trades, a master of none. So the CE, I'm absolutely old school in the fact that your associate has to have skin in the game.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I wrote a nice, Ask T-Bone blog podcast, without you, of course, on the five CEs that you must take.
6-minute podcast does not count.
It does.
There's like 16 updates on my phone for this. I'm like, come on.
So there's five CEs, and the number one, and it's amazing. You didn't even mention this, so you need to go back and listen to that. The number one CE that they're not taking is communication skills, how to talk to patients, how to gain case acceptance and trust from the patient. It's not about clinical education. It's not just about clinical education. It's also about speaking education, not as a speaker, but speaking and communication and gaining trust for your patient. I think it's the most important CE that you take.
So we talked about on the contracts, we've got CE. What do you budget for that? Do you mind me asking? I mean, I don't know.
I tell you, I pay 50% up to $5,000 a year.
Okay. Okay. So we've covered that.
And that's only tuition. I don't pay for flights, room, food. I don't pay for anything. I'll give you up to $5,000, 50-50 match, up to $5,000 a year.
Some other things we need to talk about. It's just like a regular job, okay? Because this is an employee, not a partner. How many days off do you get?
With pay, nothing.
During the holidays, do you pay that person?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, not everyone assumes that. So we got to talk about.
Well, it depends. If they're a salary employee, then yes.
Then you have to talk about.
If they are a production percentage based employee, then no.
Absolutely. And that's something you have to understand. There's a big difference between a 1099 employee, right?
But even if they're a W-2 employee that's paid on a percentage,
right.
I'm not giving them any paid time off.
Just understand that somebody straight out of school or somebody straight out of a DSO, is that what we were saying earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not familiar with your mindset. So always understand that. Don't assume that they know.
Right. That's what's bitten me in the butt. That's where you have to have agreements.
And let me tell you where to get a contract like this. Where do you get it?
I got it from you.
Okay. So what I often do is I find someone who's been through a lot of associates, usually a group practice, mm-hmm. somebody's really, really good, really, really picky, who's maybe had a tough time. And very, very often, they're the most open people. Get two or three from your friends or your Patterson reps who've had associates.
And I think you got to keep it simple at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
It doesn't need to be a legal contract where you need to get your lawyer to look at it. I mean, people will disagree with me.
Yep.
And then you get held up with the associates having their lawyer look at it. You know, I just make it an agreement, man. What happened to the days of, listen, I'm going to do what I say and this is what I want you to do and just write it down on a napkin for God's sakes.
Well, you know, it's something I love this about my company. We don't have to have a non-compete. And our CEO and I
don't do non-competes with my associates.
And I don't disagree. I kind of disagree with that part from a clinic. You're running a little different business, but I love the fact that we don't sign a non-compete and I'll tell you why. Our CEO has a mindset, if you don't want to work here, I don't want you here. I want you to be happy.
I encourage my associate to go across the street and open up.
So that's something to think about. Don't make your contract so ironclad they can't get out of it, because the last thing you want is somebody in here who's miserable and they can't get out of here. They will kill your team. And that goes whether it's at an associate partner or if that's just an employee.
If it's a hygienist, for God's sakes, or you know, a team member.
Yeah, get him or her out of here. But so don't get wrapped around the axle too much on these contracts. It's important to protect yourself, but also give yourself an out as well.
All right, so that was number four, the process, finding one, the contract, compensation structure, all of those things. So number five is just...
Wait for it.
It's just me. It's just a bitch session. You know the things that I think this goes back to number one, where you have to have the right mindset, and that is loyalty. I think loyalty does not exist anymore. I think and I'm not saying about my current associate and maybe even my past associates. I think what happens is they believe the grass is greener on the other side. They have no loyalty. They have no loyalty to patients, to patient care. I think that if you're an old school dentist or old fashioned or, you know, Southern, basically, I think you're in for a world of hurt with that. How do you handle remakes and redos? This is an area I struggle with because honestly, it affects my current relationship when you deal with associates who they leave and then you're left holding the bag on redoing and remaking work. And then you bitch and moan about it all the time in front of your new associate. It makes your new associate gun shy. So I think you have to, it's a good balancing act between, you know, how to handle remake redos, what your expectations should be, how to handle it, and how you may let that affect how you interact with your next one. And or if you, you know, if you learn from it each time. And then the other thing is team integration. How are you integrating your associate with your team? You know, are they trying to be you? I mean, I think the number one thing you can make mistake associates can make is just trying to be a duplicate of the senior doc. That's nobody else can be the senior doc. Everybody's unique, but they need to be integrated with the team. They need to be part of the team. I don't like practices where they separate people out, where this is my team and I have my side of the practice and this is your team and you have your side of the practice. I just don't think that's healthy, and I don't think that creates a great level of communication. So I like to have everybody together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to touch on that, on the money side of an associate. This is something that it's very frightening and it's alarming and it's quite sad. You can make a lot of money as an associate these days, especially in our market. I mean, there's associates making $250,000 a year. Okay. And that's very, very tough. But usually I see about the peak is about $250,000.
Right.
That's about what I generally, that's a peak associate who's doing a lot of crown and bridge, maybe an implant sprinkled here and there.
I don't know why bridges even exist, but that's a different story.
Let's just call it that number. But here's the one that makes it's the hardest for me. I get the phone call, associate's been with Dr. A for 4 years, and he or she's ready to leave. Chuck, I thought I was going to partner into here. I just can't do it. I'm ready to do my own thing. And you know what? And frankly, the doctor's ready. It's time. But you know what? They're so locked into the money, because then we start talking about what's it going to cost me to do my own thing.
You get the lifestyle. So they get used to making XYZ money.
You know, you've bought the
golden handcuffs, they call it.
And listen, that happens all the time. And that's just as bad for the senior doctor.
Because you're handcuffed too.
Well, you're handcuffed with this patient or this doctor who doesn't want to be here, but they can't afford to leave. Okay. And they can't. And it's really, really sad. They've already invested in a condo that they want to get out of. They've bought the car. They're paying their student loans. Maybe they've gotten married and they have a child. And when you can't afford to leave as an associate, that is the worst place to be in. I tell all the young folks, do this. Go ahead and buy something to get it out of your system. If you want to take a 2-week vacation and spend $10,000, put it on your credit card and get it out of your system. If it's a car, give yourself a $40,000 budget and be done with it and get it out of your system. But just understand, you need to live on about 60% of what you make. Okay.
But I think the listeners should go back and listen to our episode. I don't know if it's, hopefully we can put a link in the show notes. I think it's episode 3 or 4 where it's practice and personal savings.
Yes.
It's such an important episode. And see, all these things that we talked about even earlier about the numbers per month and stuff.
Yes.
Not once did we mention or did people factor in their monthly bill, that the most important monthly bill that they're not paying, and that's the bill towards financial freedom. And that should be X dollars per month that you should be paying away like it's a bill. So that way one day you can retire, or one day you can afford to invest in other things, or one day you can afford to be able to say, you know what, F you, and I want to walk away.
Treat your associateship, you know, this is talking to the associate now, is a paid GPR or a paid AEGD residency.
I want to be careful about that.
Okay, when I say that, but what I'm saying is financially, don't treat it that way practice-wise, financially.
Yes, okay.
You know, you're making a stipend. You're not going
to... Why should they treat it any different than they should treat their regular life financially?
Because you guys have had no business... You've had no business experience or business classes. And, you know, and that's cliche, and we say that all the time. But listen, when you make that kind of money when you've made nothing, it's easy to get trapped in. You're still a human being before you're a doctor.
But they're still making nothing because they can barely pay the bills.
But that's what I just want to say. Be careful with getting wrapped up in the money and you can't get out. And as a senior doctor...
Be careful of having somebody like that.
Coach your associate with that. Share your mistakes when the time is right. Let them know what you know. Let them know you're a human being. It's so important. As much as the clinical part, if you have somebody who has the money right, the day you quit worrying about money is when you start making money as a doctor. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, everyone, thank you for the 5 things that you should be prepared for with associates. Number 1 was the right mindset. Number 2 was expectations with the associate. Number 3 was the economics of an associate. Number 4 was the process of having an associate. And number 5 was just the bit session of what to, you know, the goods and the bads, basically, of having an associate. So I want to thank you for listening in. I want to, again, leave us with the thought is, if you say to yourself, I could use an associate, but God, I don't want to deal with it, you need an associate. because to me, an associate is not just about buying money. It's about buying time, and it's about buying freedom and flexibility for you to be able to truly build the practice that you want so that you can go to the right. You can go from doing general dentistry to doing advanced dentistry, and then go from doing advanced dentistry to doing emotional dentistry. And what happens is too many times I see associateships fail because the senior doc is unwilling to let go of certain procedures. You've got to feed your associate, you've got to help them, and you got to create the mindset that you need open time on your schedule, the senior doctor's schedule, to allow yourself to grow yourself or your practice in areas that you weren't able to grow before, because there's the cost of opportunity. And that cost of opportunity is when you're too busy doing something for $5, you can't go make $50 doing something else. Or when you're too busy doing things that you don't like to do, you're letting so many things that you would love to do walk out the door. So I want you to look at associates a little bit differently. It's not just about the money. It's also about buying time, flexibility, and the ability to build the practice of your dreams. I want to thank you for your loyal listenership. At this point, you've been listening for a long time. Do me a favor. Visit www.tbonespeaks.com. Give us a review on iTunes and drop us a question so I can have some more questions for our Ask T-Bone segment. Thank you very much. And Chuck, any questions or words from you?
No, thank you for being patient with me as well. Appreciate that.
Will you be on Facebook by the time they get on next time?
100% not.
Okay.
I've just made that commitment.
Everybody have a great day. Bye.
Good night.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.